silence. Mary Lavelle Bowerly passed away in August. She is the mother of Jim Bowerly and the sister of Jim Lavelle, one of our former mayors and councilmen. In fact, I ran into him as I came in. He said he's been 20 years coming to meetings, so he's not coming tonight. But please think of his mother. Thank you. Please be seated. Let the record show that all five commissioners are in attendance. We have Jim Dedes here in place of Mark Applebaum, who is attending a friend's wedding, actually officiating it. And we have our solicitor, Fred Cameron, here. May I have a motion to adopt the agenda if there are no questions?
So moved.
Okay, I second it. All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, so adoption is agenda. Agenda is adopted. And then minutes. Did you all get a chance to review the minutes? And any questions or edits? You know, I got mine in already a long time ago. And Ashley's been doing a great job of getting them out early, so we have a lot of time to review them. So any questions or edits? Okay, we have a motion to approve the minutes as written.
So moved.
Okay,
second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, did you go there?
Yes.
Okay. So that was unanimous in the approval of minutes. Do we want to approve the executive committee minutes?
My apologies to the group for getting these out late. I have printed copies of an email I sent out today with the executive session minutes from our session. If anyone feels that we need to review or wait a bit, I certainly would understand because I am getting these out late.
Right.
Fred, give the copies.
So, if you can review and let me know if you want to approve them or if you want to wait till next month. While you're looking at them, let me just say that, first of all, we have our sign updated here for the Dewey Beach Superstar Beach. It says 2011, 2012, 2013, and 2014. So, great job on that.
Huh?
Yeah. Consistent. Yes, absolutely. And the other thing was that we did have record attendance on the beach. When I talked to Todd Frischman, our captain of the lifeguards, he said it was the most number of people he'd ever seen consistently on the beach, but also the most families that have ever been on the beach and the most little children. So it was definitely a different year than usual. But of course, the weather was beautiful. That didn't hurt. But I think the real key is there were a lot more families than there used to be. So has everybody had a chance to review those minutes, and do we have any questions? Any questions?
Oh, yes. I just wanted to, I don't know if these names are correct, but that's not, I know that one's not correct.
Can I get the misspelling?
Yeah, that's correct, isn't it?
It is?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't think it was, but it needs to be capitalized. So we
well, yeah, all right, so we capitalize that.
Because that could be a noun.
Yeah, but I believe that's correct. We'll double check it, though.
Okay.
But I'm pretty sure the reason
I thought it had a C.
Who's that sharp?
Yeah.
It's kind of ironic, you know, but I remember
I mean,
that.
It's possible, I spelled it wrong.
We just need to make sure it's capitalized so we know it's a proper noun and not a...
Right, something else. All right, anything, other changes?
No.
There you go, it.
I'm okay.
Courtney, I'm okay. Move to accept the minutes as corrected here.
Okay.
Second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, so the minutes of the executive session on August 8th are hereby approved as well. Okay, that's your copy you're taking. All right, so we've got the attendance of the beach. Just to let you know, the Fruchman case, we had won that case. It was about all the rafts and the buildings. The building on, I don't know what screen is that. Anyway, you know which one is the yellow building that has all the rafts all over it. And this has been going on for about 5 years. We won the case finally. It was dismissed, actually, or actually it was a summary judgment for the town.
Right.
And then they had 30 days to appeal, and they have appealed. Anything to say other than that on that part?
No. Just that it's pending appeal.
Pending appeal. Okay. Beverly, since you're here, we have an election update. Is there anything you want to tell us about the election?
Well, do you at the same time want to deal with appointing the final member of the...
We can do that at the same time if you
okay.
want.
Okay. All right.
Same person.
Yeah, we have an appointment to the... election judge, which is item 4. So far, I think you've seen it all at once.
Good evening.
Good Good evening.
A week from tonight will be election eve. Okay? This room will be set up differently. Nobody will be in here until about 9:30 Saturday morning, when the election officials and board of election people and town hall staff and folks from the county election department come and help us get set up. Countdown.
We'll be all happy when it's over with.
I have tried to keep you informed without overwhelming you about some of the things that are going on. You know about the dilemma we had about the last specified last date for mailing absentee ballots. My theory was when the state told us we goofed, we say okay and we change it, and we did that as quickly as we could. And in return, at least I think it was in return for our quick and unargumentative compliance, the state did not make us reschedule the election. They could have, because it was a change in the notice of the election, and it occurred within the 20-day window by which you have to post notice. So the election is going on. We are processing receiving requests for absentee ballots and processing those requests and mailing ballots out as quickly as we can. We have had a lot of walk-in people for absentee voting, and we will be open tomorrow at Town Hall for absentee voting only, so don't come in there for a dog license or a fire permit or any of that other stuff. Absentee voting only. From 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. We did that last Saturday and did not have a very large turnout. I'm guessing that tomorrow may be busier because it's closer to the election. But the members, another member of the Board of Elections and I are working in the lobby in an outside area to keep sort of order. You know, you can't get in to get an absentee ballot until you've submitted your affidavit and we've said it's okay. And that gives Joyce, who's working alone, the opportunity to do a quality job of validating eligibility, preparing the packet, and helping the people understand how to
vote. Okay. Bill Lauer, could you help remove that podium? It really should be facing this way, because you're looking this way and you're not talking to the microphone.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying.
So if we could just turn that around, I think it'd be easier for everyone and you'd be able to hear the microphone better.
Well, fix it where you can hide behind it.
There we go. That's much better.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
So we have a plan, and we'll push you along as quickly as we can. Do you have questions?
I had a question about the first mailing of the notice of the election. Was that bulk mail or first class?
I believe that was bulk mail. We did the second mailing first class.
Okay.
The first mailing was handled totally by the print, the printer.
Because it took some people who, the non-residents, I think quite some time to get that notice. I was just curious.
Well, we usually do bulk mail, and
we typically do.
Yes. So
that might be something we're looking
for. The second notice went first class because we felt more of a time crunch. And we mailed the ballots first class.
Right.
We have the continuing confusion by our voters of when they get an affidavit, they think that's their ballot.
Yeah.
Or can we fax them a ballot? Can we email them a ballot? Can they email back their voted ballot? Can they email, fax back their voted ballot? No.
No.
It's hard for people in this electronic age. It's hard for people to accept. This ballot is assigned to you, Commissioner Gaines, and I'm delivering it by hand to you. I can only give it to your husband to deliver it to you. He could bring it back.
Okay, great. Any other questions for
anyone? Want to hear about the appointee I would ask
you
tonight? We have a group of six volunteers officially appointed to conduct the election. The Board of Elections is primarily in charge of absentee balloting, and the election officials are in charge of in-person voting over here on Saturday. You've appointed Gloria Rogers, Marty Tarr, and me as a three-person board of elections. You've appointed Bob Day as the inspector who's in charge over here, and one judge, Sally Reed, and I'm asking you this evening to appoint another judge, Suzanne Franzatelli. Suzanne is a fairly new homeowner in June. She, first thing that I liked about her was she returned my calls and emails, she knows. that was a good sign. So I asked her for a little bit of information so I could share it with you, and I'm glad you didn't, you know, wasn't a formal bio or anything, but she said she has a BS in math with a minor in finance, and an MS in natural resources management. And Commissioner Mahler would be happy to know she worked as a project manager for Northrop Grumman.
Maryland?
Yep, she lives in Maryland.
What was her name?
Franzatelli.
It's in your notebook, number
four.
She's one of about 8,000 people.
Yeah, so I just thought, you know, might as well poke on her. She said she's volunteered in a lot of community and civic organizations, including serving as the local high school's PTA treasurer, where she had a $250,000 budget. So she's the kind of person who's going to pay attention to detail and be able to manage disrupt uncertainty in, I think, a calm way. Mm-hmm. So I hope that you will appoint her.
Very good. Well, thank you. May I have a
motion to appoint Ms.
Franzatelli
to position of election judge.
Okay, second?
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Thank you.
Beverly, thank you for all you do. I mean, Beverly's been living down in Town Hall.
She has.
So we appreciate all your efforts.
The good news is I think I'm helping.
Yes, you are.
So.
Yeah. And on top of that, she's a new member of the Board of Adjustment, so she had to be here all night Wednesday, too. Yeah. Double duty right now. She's going to be real happy when September 20th is over, right? All right. Next, we have Elaine Bowl, who will be doing a project update on the town's website. And this is something we've talked about for years, is that we got to get that website up to speed. And Elaine is working on that, so we're pleased to have Elaine Bowl with us.
So we are finally updating our website, mm-hmm. which I'm really excited about. I've talked to many of you about it. And I am the project manager dealing with the town. I work with Ashley and Mary and Mark, and with also the people redesigning it, and also out to the community. So basically I was chosen to do it because I had been bugging everybody constantly that we needed a new website. So at least bring us up to the 2000. And I thought that it would be helpful to people like Beverly and a lot of people, so that the information on our website is user-friendly, and we are acting as a municipality by showing the services and providing things very clearly. I think the thing to look at, I know that the marketing committee had contacted me because they're very excited, and there was some kind of issue about whether we did advertising and stuff, and which is just people being excited and trying to weigh in. But this is a municipality website, and the first phase is going to be looking to help the town become more efficient, more transparency, which is something that always comes up, and assisting them in every way to deal with questions where we don't have a small staff constantly on the phone asking about the election. They could actually go to the website and it could come up clearly, or the committee meetings, or our codes. So it's really exciting, and if you want to take a look at the kind of website that we're going to have, you should look at Nantucket's. And we're going to have, I've collected thousands of pictures, and I'm not kidding, historical pictures, beauty pictures, all of that kind of stuff that will help brand the town as well, to show the beauty, the natural beauty of the town, because there's a lot of it. And right now, that's the biggest branding that we're going to be doing, but also to look efficient. So this whole process, I worked on it all summer, and we're now at the wireframe part, which is a schematic, which just takes what you're going to have on the home going to work. And we're going to be working on, we're supposed to get it today, but I haven't gotten it yet to look at. And once we have that done, we'll have sketches, which I'll pass along to not only the town manager and obviously his staff, but to the council for their input and to any of the committees who are involved to get their input. So this is not a situation where all of you won't have a lot of input, and it's really needed, because that's the best way to do a really good site. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you all have any questions, but...
How do you get the Nantucket website? Is it Nantucket.com?
Right here.
Nantucket.gov? Oh, you got it already. Oh, he's ahead of me. Nantucket.
So it's nice.
It's Nantucket-MA.gov.
And that,
okay.
And today, the that systems have changed quite a bit. So that is something that can be seen on your tablet. It can be seen on your iPhone. It functions on your screen. It's not the same problems that Dick had when he, it's come a long way, baby, developing.
One of the things I really like is how it switched from photo to photo. So it's also a marketing tool.
It definitely is a marketing tool for branding the town.
It switches from photo to photo.
I talked to Mark about this. I don't know what percentage of our voters are absentee or property owners who live somewhere else, but I think it's huge, that there's not a lot of people who live here year-round. And if you want to communicate with the electorate in Dewey Beach, the only way you can do it basically is somehow get letters to the editor or mailings, flyers that you get out. The last flyer that I paid for cost me $750, one flyer. And if I wanted to do another one, it would be another $750. And that's bulk mailing. That's not even doing it first class. So I said to Mark, I said, would it be not possible for the town to have, not like Wikipedia, but just have a site that would be open for anybody who's running for office to post their stuff? Town, that's all that people could post, the people who are running for office. Post it, put it on the site, and no one edit it, no one have anything to do with it, but any person who votes in the town could access that site and see what the commitments and the promises are that are being presented by candidates in an election.
I think that's a question for Fred, because I would think that a municipality has to stay very neutral and not get involved in elections in any way possible.
This is just data. No.
Yeah. Data is still.
I think it's legal, but I mean,
I wouldn't jump to a conclusion and say that it's not legal.
Right.
I would like to think that something like that is doable.
Yeah.
However, you'd have to have some rules, and that there could be a lot of debate that arises over whether someone's post is appropriate. And who gets to make those decisions? And it could get.
You have to use your judgment. Send out a flyer. No one edits the flyer. If you're going to make mistakes using epithets or attacking
things,
right,
but the town's only giving you.
Yeah, when you do what you're talking about is kind of what's called a forum.
Yeah,
right?
Forum.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And there are two styles. There's a moderated forum and an unmoderated forum. And to Elaine's point, if you make it a moderated forum, then the town's kind of taking control of content. If you make it an unmoderated forum, besides the inappropriate stuff, there's also the spam factor too, and whether it comes
the thing I could say is that or think about just that if people want to receive your information and they're in a email list, for instance, with the election, we could possibly use the kind of social media like Twitter to say, your ballot's coming out, that kind of thing, if they've opted in. And you could give a button to say, would you like to also get the information or blog from, say, Courtney? And you could individually get the emails from us if they've opted in for that for all candidates, and then you can do it on your own. It wouldn't cost you any money. But you still have to do the work of putting your blog.
Yeah, my problem is that's more involvement than I think you should have. I think you don't. No involvement.
Just post it.
Yeah, just post. Leave. You don't have anything to do with it.
No, we're saying
other than
I see people shaking their heads. No, the Civic League used to do this. Do they still do it? Dale, aren't you on the board? They don't do that anymore. You're not on the board, or they don't do it anymore.
As I say, what we're getting ready to do in the morning meeting is send out the answer.
time for in the forum.
Yeah.
So I know we're going to be sending those out, and that's going to be via email to everybody that's on our mailing list.
I see. Okay.
But
do you post? Do you post the candidates? You used to. You don't anymore, huh?
Well,
Dave Davis does our website.
Oh.
So I.
Okay.
Get in.
There would be a problem right there. I see.
I don't know, just because I don't do the website.
I see. Okay, Beverly, you have a question or comment?
I'd just like to put an end to any idea of using the voter registration emails for any purpose other than voter registration.
No,
that's not what I'm talking
about. Wait. Let me finish my point. Certain voter identification information is public information, but the emails, telephone numbers, and anything that's been prohibited by court order is not public information. That's in our code, and it's on the directions for registering to vote.
Mm-hmm.
So the emails that we have in voter registration are maybe better, maybe worse, maybe old, maybe new compared to what's in the town list. But please don't even flip the idea of getting an email.
So perhaps what might be a good takeaway from this, because Courtney, I think you have a good fundamental idea, which is the town should be able to have a means of effective electronic communication and not have to stamp and go through huge costs for things that the town wants to let people know about. So maybe...
Well, not the town. People are running for office.
That's just one. I mean, that's one dynamic, right?
But also
in general, you know, the town probably would like the ability to kind of reach out to people electronically. So, you know, between the new website and, you know, the marketing committee's efforts, maybe, you know, there might be some way that we can do something that maybe it's not integrated with the town website, but the town website links to it. I don't know.
Well, I'm requesting that the town website developers work with the town council and see if this idea that I have is something that might be feasible, and I think it's perfectly legal, but I could be wrong. You know, where you have hands off, totally, all you're doing. All you would do is have some technical way that people would have to get access because they were real candidates for election, and they could put stuff on.
I wasn't talking about voter registration.
Yeah.
This is I was talking about Twitter. People opted in to share their email, just to make that clear. But I think that a white paper by the marketing committee on it's a lot of work, and this is stuff why it's secondary to social media for me as far as the second phase on how other municipalities use social media is the way to go, because we're just talking now. We're not, it doesn't have any factor or anything that we can really talk about then.
I can assure you no other town's doing this right now. Not many towns. The towns that allow property owners to vote, which in a way is double voting, in this country are very limited. They've done away with it in Maryland. They've done away with it, I think, in Colorado. Maryland did away with it about 10 years ago.
What do you mean double voting?
Well, because you have residents. Well, you're voting is... You're
oh, I see. Voting two locations.
Yeah, two locations, yeah.
But only...
Yeah.
You only...
It violates one man, one vote, but in many cases, it's very important.
But
know.
In any one election, you only get one vote. I mean, you can vote for an election here and then election.
The argument before this, the Maryland Supreme Court was that it allowed people to have dual voting, in the sense that it was violated the one man, one vote principle, because
mm-hmm.
you could vote in two different places if you were a resident. That, I'm not in favor of that. I love having property owners vote, but I dislike the fact that I don't have a way of communicating.
Yeah,
that's my problem.
Yeah.
And
I think that it's something that needs to be explored, but it's... I can tell you something that was in your campaign speech that might excite you about the website, is that is totally possible, and I think everybody would be excited about this, is having a better idea of the work that people are doing in Town Hall. For instance, on the back page, Mark, and we'll be able to see the complaints that, or the people say, for instance, if there's a sign down, and it needs to be picked up. It'll go into, who's the guy that does the news?
Alan.
And Alan will get it when he comes in the morning, and the resident will be issue. We'll be taking care of it, and when it's finished, we'll get back to you. And Mark would be able to, or the town manager, or whoever the supervisor is, would be able to see the things that came in and how well they're doing, and then it will help you all with your budget to see the volume of work that's coming in, mm-hmm. what the real issues are, right. Instead of just kind of guessing where money needs to be allocated. Does it need to be? And then the flow for people, like the FEMS, for instance, working closely with the town, we were able to find out frequently asked questions, and they can have a message on the phone that says, here, the frequently asked questions are on the website, but if you want to talk to somebody, stay on the line. And it might be the older folks might like to stay on the line, but a lot of younger people would just like to, not necessarily, that sounds very ageist, but some people would like to stay on the line, and some people just want to get their answers. Mm-hmm. And, yeah. And it'll really help. It's about efficiency, transparency, and all the other things that I think you all talk about all the time and the campaigns are always about, and to make the town as transparent as possible with the things that we can put up. And as far as like the town meetings, the visual on that and the ability to see it and see them all the time and the archives, something that David asked about, will be up there and easily found. Which is always a problem. So we're working on all of that. So I can't even tell you how many ways that this is going to be better. There will be things that will need to be changed, updated, and so forth, but that's always the way it's supposed to be. And I mm-hmm. just think it's exciting that we're kind of moving into the 2000s. Dude, yeah! So,
sound good.
All right.
Thank you very much. Great work. Sounds like an exciting
that,
project.
That Nantucket site looks great, by the way.
Yeah. I thought you all would love it.
Very good. All right. Next, we have a presentation about the marketing committee, and I guess Dale, you're the chosen one here. But it's about their new initiatives for the coming year, and we've already had some wonderful publicity about this. While Dale comes up, this is from the Coast Press. As you can see, a nice picture of a father with his young child playing ball on the beach. And we had a wonderful newscast about it, and I tried to get the link to the video, but I don't know. They didn't link the video to the website, and then they couldn't find it, and the guy was on vacation. It's crazy. So I couldn't get it, but I'd still like to get it, because some of the people on the marketing committee didn't even see it, and it was great publicity about this program.
It was very good. I saw it.
Did you see it?
In fact, I saw it on my phone, so
Did you know?
Eventually, somehow I must have gotten it.
I wish I'd known that. Maybe you could have sent me the link. But they had two versions. The one that I saw last Friday night at 11 o'clock was the best.
Oh.
It was a better picture of the committee. It was better focused.
And that I didn't see.
They had different interviews.
I had people say, why didn't you tell us? I said, I didn't care.
I didn't know. Yeah. But anyway, go ahead, Dale.
The committee, honestly, is trying to do something systematically, a little slower than before, and trying to make sure we're constantly talking in the meetings about making sure that you all know what we're doing, so that you don't get the idea, even the idea that we're trying to jump ahead of you or don't let you fully know what the committee is doing. So the idea in general, very quickly, but I have to go myself, in general, very quickly, the committee wants to promote, not disparage anything. We don't want to discourage anybody from coming to do it. We want to promote families and grandparents and parents to come to do it. So the idea is the possibility of between April 15th and May 15th calling it a pet month, or geared towards the dogs, the pets, and that type of activity, like the races we had outside, the Chihuahua races, that type of thing. And then May 15th through June 15th would be Parents and Grandparents Month, geared towards Mother's Day, Father's Day, grandparents, encouraging them to come, having activities for the mothers and fathers, such as the Art Fest, or encouraging people to go to the Art Fest and that type of activity. So
are you still planning
the
golf tournament for June?
Yeah.
Is that still on?
Well,
don't know.
I sent an email the other day to Maryland, and I haven't heard back from
them. Okay.
What the mayor's talking about, I approached the Lions Club about having a golf tournament co-sponsored by the town and the Lions Club for the benefit of the town and the Lions Club. And I believe I mentioned to you once before, I'm not sure about that, but I think I did. And we want to promote the calendar events in the chamber booklet the chamber puts out for visitors coming to town. And right now we have a committal of, I believe, 3 pages and possibly 4. So the calendar events have to be an actual committed event. In other words, Todd brought up some things that he would like to have on the beach too, but they're not committed yet. So as of right now, that type of thing couldn't be put in the book because it's not committed. As soon as we get you all in general approve it, and we get committed dates and people committed to running the events, and we know they're going to happen, then we would make sure we put it in that book ahead of time. So the date is vastly coming
well,
very quickly
ask
here.
Now, is there any commissioner that objects to having a golf tournament so that if it gets to the deadline, and our meeting is after the deadline, I want to just make sure that there's no one objecting to it. Anybody have any problems with a golf tournament for Father's Day?
With the idea of that type of thing, with the Lions would be the main. We can't run anything. The committee can't run a thing. We don't have the ability, we don't have the money. But we can run our own committee, but we can't run an event.
Good. To clarify that.
Sorry about that.
It's good to know.
The press is here. That's something you don't want to get quoted on.
Yeah, right. You're right. Oh, my God, yes. I forget about that type of thing. But we want to promote things in Dewey that are positive for Dewey. So that's the idea behind it. And then also we want to promote things like weddings on the beach and additional use of the Bayside beaches, that type of thing. We think, certain things that we've let slip through the cracks a little bit, and it's not that we want to denigrate or not promote something else. We want to promote positive things. So, and then later on, you all will have new members of the committee coming up through the mayor, just later on at this meeting. So other than that, right now, it's Marilyn Seitz is the chair. Excuse me. Rob Marshall, Harry Wilson, Dale Cook, myself, and Corey Mahoney are on it. And then you have the bios for Judy Davis, Paige Curran, and Eleanor Tyler.
So yeah. That would be 3 more.
Courtney, yes.
Yeah, I, if you haven't, I would recommend, the SPCA, I think, has 2 events now. They're anxious to get events as much as they can. They got the dog walk, I think, coming up this weekend.
Oh, okay.
And they had the 5K.
That's a good idea.
And they had the 5K earlier down here with Starboard. I think the Starboard is there. But I don't know when that's run. I think it's like July. I'm not sure.
And see, that's the type of thing. Some of these things, they slip through the cracks, and we don't know about it.
Right.
So you're right. We need to pull all that together and make sure it gets in the calendar.
I think it's a great idea. Might even consider cats.
Might what?
Some kind of cat.
Catwalk.
Oh my God!
No, maybe a cat beauty contest or something.
Okay, I was going to ask, why is it called Pet Month instead of Dog Month?
Well, because we eventually want to encourage all pet activities, not just dogs.
We just want to make sure it comes up on Google when people are looking for doggy ideas.
Gotcha.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Now and then expand it.
Yeah. It's one thing about it, we realize we don't want to push too quickly, though, on anything. So Dog Month, we wouldn't be adverse to that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we just want to kind of go in slow increments and not jump into anything.
Mm-hmm. All right. Anybody, what are your reactions? You in favor of it?
All these sound really good events.
Mm-hmm. I think the Arts Fest is a really good event to promote.
Yeah.
Now, last year it was on Mother's Day, and I couldn't decide if it was better or not as good to have it on Mother's Day.
The idea is promote it. Well, of course, it's their event, but we want to promote that type of event,
mm-hmm.
not other, in other words, don't want to denigrate any other type of event, but that type of event specifically is what we want to promote for Dewey. And they promote it as bring your mother and buy a gift and then go to dinner or lunch. So they've had it on and off that day. So.
Good. Well, members, while you're still here, in case there's any questions, I don't know if you even... some of them anyway.
Yeah.
Let's see, under item 3. Judy Davis, we all know Judy, right? Eleanor Tyler, and Paige Curran is, I think, maybe somebody may not know as well. John McCurry is her husband, who's come to several meetings of late, and but they've been coming to do it for a long time, at least 15 years. And then the fourth person is Chris Strauss, who is the general manager of the Hyatt. Now, she would not be a member of the committee, because you have to be a property owner to be a member by our committee guidelines, but she would be an advisor, and they thought she would be a good addition, because if we plan any bigger events as we move forward, they have, you know, the Bay Center, and they have the Day Beach and all that. So there's a lot of things that would affect the marketing committee that they can help me with.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so I don't know whether you want to vote on them individually, or if you're all right with all of them, you can just take a negotiation for all of them.
I'd just like to move that we accept the nominations of all these individuals.
Okay, very good. So that would be, for the record, Judy Davis, Eleanor Tyler, and Paige Curran as members of the committee, and Chris Strauss as an advisor. Do I have a second?
I second.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
All right. Great, thank you, Dale. I think
thank
the committee's doing a great job.
You guys are doing
off and running. One thing I did forget in the announcements, because Beverly went from one to another announcement, Dick Cleveland could not be here this evening. We were going to recognize him for all his work previously on the website. And I forgot to mention that, so he was unable to attend. Yes, Elaine, brought up if it's going to be long.
Well, maybe this is impossible, maybe this is a personal thing, but I was wondering if we could have a farmer's market that the marketing committee could work on, and perhaps in the Lions Club's parking lot, because the person would be very nice to me. And I think it would be starting to send the message along the beautiful new website, that we have more than just about Hardy Hardy.
Yeah, I think anything is possible. I just don't want to commit the marketing committee
right.
to jump too quickly, too fast.
Yeah. They'll put it in the mix and discuss it. And
I'd love to see that in the mix.
It would be nice.
Things.
Yeah.
I mean,
there's a commissioner in Rehoboth who's just, if you have a question about the farmer's market, they send you directly to this one commissioner. So she would be a good network person.
And at the Lions Club, that would be something, you think they'd let us use their parking lot? The Lions Club, you think that they would let us use the parking lot?
Yeah, Georgia?
One of the things that Carol Everhart cautioned about, which everybody has to pay attention to that, is to not conflict with existing activities in surrounding communities.
Yeah.
So you already have a major farmer's market in Lewis on Saturdays. You have a major farmer's market in
Tuesdays.
Right.
So I'm just reminding everybody that that's something to keep in mind.
We have two vegetable fruit stands. I guess we're going to have to deal with that.
Speaking to me personally. Thanks, Dale.
Okay. I guess we're done with that one. Any other comments? Okay. The next one, number 5, confirm the date for the swearing-in ceremony of commissioners and the organizational meeting. I did email Dave Davis yesterday to ask if he was available for September 27th, and I did not get a response. So with that, I guess I would recommend we just stay with it on the 27th, because, and I know you can't make it, but if you work for election, I think it would be different.
Yeah.
You know, and we waited because we wanted to know if the candidates could make it, and he didn't respond. So I can't change the date based on the unknown.
Yeah, and Yom Kippur is the next weekend.
Yeah,
I want to say something to my fellow commissioners. I sent an email. I did go back and look, and I think I got a little confused on the organizational meeting with the swearing in of the office of the new commissioners versus the organizational meeting where we form the committees and make sure we have our chairs in place and all that. And I did look back on the website, and in the last few years we did do the both on the same date. Now I think and I was indicating in my email that we didn't. And I think back in the 90s they did the swearing in the first meeting in October. You might remember, Chief, I don't know. I think back in the BLT days, Bracken, Lavelle, and Tansy, they were in office for 10 years. And I believe we did it the first meeting in October, so I was going back to another decade of meetings.
Yeah.
So that's the confusion.
Okay.
But I bought the charter. Just in case. So that's the only thing.
Think we'll be ready to appoint committees by September 27th.
No.
We'd be just renewing.
That's the only meeting in the fall. Can't be here, so you'll be doing it without me.
All right. So I guess we're all right with the 27th. Everybody else, right? Okay. Now the next thing, Jim, are you doing the presentation on the donations for signs and bikes?
No, I'm going to defer to Ashley on that one.
Okay.
since she's worked with Mark on that. I mean,
okay.
I'm just happy to jump in.
All right, and you'll do the e-code then? And
I'll do the e-code.
If you could please come up, could someone operate that in your stead?
Sure.
Okay.
Just don't touch anything, Elaine.
Leave it alone.
Don't
leave
touch
it alone.
Please introduce yourself for those that don't know.
I'm Ashley Hudson, town clerk for Dewey Beach. And last month at the meeting, we had spoken about the sponsorship opportunities that we were talking about in town. So the form that is in your notebooks is the form that I finalized this week to give any of the homeowners or businesses or anyone who doesn't live here the opportunity to sponsor it. And it's not for profit. It's just to cover the cost of what exactly was spent on the items. So we have this available now. As of Monday at 9 a.m. is when anyone can submit their requests for which item they would want on which street. That way it's fair to anyone, so someone couldn't say, like, I want this. Someone wants the wrong list or something. So Monday at 9 is the first come, first serve basis for that. We're going to put it in the newspaper, so it gives everyone an opportunity who isn't here today also to see the notice.
Okay. Can I ask, how many plaques are you going to put on each? Is it, if you sponsor one, is it just your family's plaque? Okay, good.
Yeah.
Great. I'm going to get in line.
Yeah.
Any questions?
Yeah,
any
actually,
questions, Mary?
We had a speech bench with a sign for Jane O'Malley at the foot of Cullen Street. Is that still there? Is that
nothing? Former benches that were there,
Yeah.
Everything was left.
So we added a bench?
Some cases there are two.
Two benches? Oh,
here,
okay.
Two.
Two benches.
On Van Dyke, I think there are two as well, because there used to be one there, and they added one there.
Okay.
Yeah, like we have one on Chesapeake Street.
Okay.
So,
okay. So I think if there was one there, there's
now
two. Now
two. Yeah. Okay.
Now, the one thing that, correct me if I'm wrong, isn't there a limit, and then the plaques change after so many years, or is this in perpetuity?
No. What we decided on is, when you sponsor the item, it'll be for the lifetime of the item. You get a minimum of 5 years. So if something happened within that 5 years, town, we do have extra where it would be replaced at no cost. After 5 years, if something were to happen to it, unfortunately, you would either have to purchase again, or if you didn't want to repurchase that item, it would be available to someone else.
So the idea is the bench or the sign wears out, so after 7 years, if it's gone, your sponsorship
right.
is gone.
Right, so you're guaranteed 5 years.
Yeah.
Okay. So would you get to renew it? Let's just say the bench is destroyed in a hurricane and you want to do it all over again.
You would have the first opportunity to, and then if you didn't want to, then it could be open to
it. It seems like a great idea.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, I like that.
Any other questions?
Thank
any
you.
Questions from the audience? All right, thank you, Ashley. Good job.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Good job, Ashley.
All right, next, Jim, you wanted to talk about the general e-code.
Yes, we were trying to get a demonstration, but we couldn't get it to work through my app into the screen. Too many adapters had to be put in. So what we have is the general e-code. We were advised that it's now available for anybody who's got an iPad like this or who's got an Android smartphone. So you can work it on your iPhone, iPad, or smartphone. And what you would do is type in the general e-code, and then you can get a little app that does. All you do is just click onto the app, it comes up, and I can show you all how it works, but it's so simple, it's ridiculous. And I've got it down here, so. Okay, come on.
So you put general e-code into like a Google?
Yeah, you
search?
Can put it in. It's as simple. It's a Google search,
Yahoo
Beach search.
Or?
No, you put general e-code 360 and it'll pop up in the app.
How does it know
it's an app you install on your phone for e-code.
Yeah.
It's on the app and it comes in like this. This is what it looks like. And I'm going to go to the home thing and clear it out. And once you get onto the app, it downloads it, and it's free. It doesn't cost anything, and I really think it's wonderful.
Does it leave the code in the app, so like if you don't have a network connection, you can continue to search it?
No, you have to have a
network connection.
Yeah, you have to have a network connection. And you can type in onto the onto the bar, you type in, for example, you want to type in 19971, and it comes up. Any municipality within 20 miles of that zip code will pop up. So you can go back and you can type in Town of Dewey. It just pops up, click Town of Dewey Beach, and it gives you frequent sites that have been visited. And then you can just, and as you can see, they have beach, they have Board of Adjustments, Chapter 185. And then what you do is just for example, let's just tap into here. It says beach. And there we go. And it'll go into the section. It should. There it goes. And it brings up everything with the word beach in it, or you can put into the actual code section that you want to go to. For example, if you want to go into 185 and some particular thing in the zoning, it will pop up. And then you can have a search on it as well. So it tells you and then you click on it and it downloads what it is. It's really a great thing and it's easy. And it may save the town some money actually by not getting all these code books all the time when they're very expensive.
Yeah.
But if you all have it, I mean, it's great. And it does work well on your, and I did download it on my smartphone. The same thing works too. So,
questions? So it's free, Jim?
It's free.
Free.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it really is.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ellen. Talk real loud. I don't want you to come up because I know you use a cane. Talk real loud.
Are the code that governs the Board of Adjustment, is that also in the beginning code? Mm-hmm.
Everything.
Oh, good.
I know where you're
Beverly?
Well, and I've been using that the old-fashioned way by making a link from the Delaware Legislative website. Mm-hmm. That takes you to
this
Delaware
is so much easier.
And I mean, well, I don't carry all that paraphernalia.
Yeah.
But from a laptop computer, I do that. But you know, it's wonderful. We use it a lot when we were preparing the code for voter registration, because that's how we found the codes in other places. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's everybody should be going to that. It's kept up to date, so long as the town has informed the state of changes.
It's nice because a lot of times you all would like us to research what other municipalities are doing. This is so much easier than calling up and trying to figure
that's
it out.
That's what I use in the meetings, not the app, but I use the web version of the meetings here all the time. I want to clarify Ellen's question. On the Board of Adjustment, the code for the Board of Adjustment is in the e-code system, but the rules for the Board of Adjustment that they've adopted for how they conduct their meetings are not in that on the e-code system. So I just wanted to make sure that was clear.
But it is on the website when you go into the committees and boards. Click on the Board of Adjustments and you'll see it says rules. So you can download
on the town website.
On the town website.
Is that a recent addition?
It's current, yes, it's current.
It's,
no, it's been
there
for a while.
Before, all I could see was the form to submit.
Mm-hmm.
I'll look at it again.
Mr. Spence and Mr. Fuquay were at the meeting the other night. How are they informed of the rules? Because the two of them were discussing, how do they get the process and procedures and rules of the Board of Adjustment? Because they weren't aware.
They have an attorney for the Board of Adjustment who works with Lynn Reed, and I'd assume that.
Well,
but how did that, right?
But in that case, in the case of that matter, the rules were provided by the attorney for the Board of Adjustment to the litigants, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how they got the rules. And I think in the future, I don't know that it hasn't been the case in the past, but I think that the attorney representing the Board of Adjustment will be very careful to make sure, and as will the chairman, to make sure that at the earliest possible opportunity, people who have business before the Board of Adjustment are made aware of what the prevailing rules are.
I stand corrected. Ellen is absolutely right. It's not. It's the. We'll make
it's
sure.
It's not in there.
No, it's not in there. It doesn't come up. The form for going to it, filing for the board is there, but the rules should
be.
You
can put it under reference.
We'll put it on.
Yeah.
We'll get it fixed.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks
for
doing
it to
that
us.
Tour.
And the new website
will make it. Yes. Yes, we will. You got all the right people here. You got Ashley, who does the website, and Elaine and Jim. All of them are aware of it now. That's a three.
Thank you. Yeah.
All right, Lex. Last item is discuss and possibly vote to adopt a format for compliance with financial disclosure requirements set forth in Section 10.4 of the Dewey Beach Code of Ordinances. And Fred, could you please introduce this?
Right. Thank you, Mayor. Section 10.4 of the Code of Ethics appears to have been adopted in 2006. I don't know that it's been critical to do a real in-depth investigation, but it's apparent that this provision has been part of our code for many years, and yet there does not seem to be much evidence that it has been observed. And I can offer a theory for that, and that is just a theory, that the provisions in our code of conduct, which is this chapter 10, include the establishment of a board of ethics. And for those of you who have been part of this organization for a number of years, you know that the board of ethics cannot be authorized until the Public Integrity Commission were to approve our code of conduct or our ethics provisions. And there's quite a bit involved in that process, as well as a commitment would be required of the commissioners themselves to go down that path. So that has not been done, and that renders the provisions of our code of conduct relating to establishment of the Board of Ethics to be unenforceable. But that concept does not apply in any way to other provisions in our code of conduct, so long as they don't conflict with the state code on public integrity and ethical requirements of town officials and elected officials and so on and so forth. So I don't know of any reason why this provision should not be applied. And to implement the requirements of this provision, again, which relate to a duty for town officials, employees, as well as candidates for office to make a financial disclosure to the town, it would need to be relatively general, so it's not to contain information that should be confidential. What would be necessary for this group to do would be to bless a form, to settle on a format, to pass by a motion, what that disclosure form should look like. And I think tonight we've set aside time for the commissioners to consider this item. So those are my comments, and be happy to answer any questions you have about it.
My question is, why don't we just piggyback on what the state requirements are? Because we have to disclose according to state laws, campaign laws, campaign finance laws. Why don't we just piggybacking on that?
Well,
this is already in our code.
Yeah,
right?
The question tonight is not whether to have a financial disclosure reporting requirement, but that we already have one, and what are we going to do about it? I mean, if this group decided that there was an alternative to making a financial disclosure to the town, which would then subsequently be subject to disclosure to people who make inquiries of the town.
But right, I can go on the internet and I can find out all campaign donations, et cetera, as required by the state for financial reporting and disclosure.
This isn't about
This isn't about campaign. This requires.
Oh, right, I'm sorry, I haven't
okay.
read that before.
Okay. This requires candidates. This requires candidates to make the financial disclosure, but it's relating not to their campaign so much as it is to their financial affairs. That's the difference. So, Commissioner LaGates, you're immediately calling to mind this notion of statewide and local candidates having to disclose where their donations come from and how they're, you know, who's paying for advertising and such things. But this is more of a general requirement, and it applies not just to candidates for office and campaigns, but it applies to town officials and town employees.
This would be listing your properties within the town where you have a financial interest
right.
in the town.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Or
so
if this
you
is
have
outside,
a business.
Outside.
Yeah. Or if you have an interest in a business, like
right. I don't know, there are partners for the starboard, so if someone ran for office and was a partner in the starboard, they'd have to.
And it applies to employees. It applies to employees too, which is important, you know, whether it be police or, you know, code or whatever, you know, that people understand, you know, not that it's like going to be broadcast, but that people have to kind of disclose what their interests are.
We had that also in government when I worked in Fairfax. The employees at certain levels, we all had to fill out financial disclosure statements every year.
Right. Is this standard in, say, Rehoboth and Bethany and our neighboring beach towns? Is this a standard form?
I don't know. I did not investigate that. I mean, I can tell you that the Public Integrity Commission doesn't have, does not see this reporting requirement to conflict with the state code in any way. You know, the public policy behind this is pretty apparent. It's a transparency item, and it's designed to discourage people from getting involved in issues on a public policy level that present potential conflicts.
Well, I mean,
people are really interested in transparency. So, yeah. I mean, I think it's a good thing that.
Who sponsored the agenda item?
I sponsored it.
You sponsored it.
Yeah.
Okay, because I was just wondering if there had been issues raised among our citizens for.
I've just been hearing all year about transparency, you know, and I was wondering about it, and I talked to Fred, and then Fred said it's already in the code,
mm-hmm.
you know, so. That's kind of how it came about, you know. I've just been hearing, you know, from everybody all year that they want transparency in their government, and you know, it's already kind of in the code that we're supposed to be doing it. So it seems
like it should start with us.
Yeah. Well, it's not just us. I mean, we're saying, you know, for everybody.
Too.
Yeah.
Too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The last two sentences of the existing provision relate to enforcement and a place jurisdiction on the Board of Ethics. Of course, we don't have a Board of Ethics, so we'd have to interpret that language either to mean that violations of this disclosure requirement could be instead referred to the Public Integrity Commission or some other body.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's a good thing that, you know, if we're disclosing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have a question about this. How do you all deal now with issues that come up that you have to vote on that you actually have personal financial that would affect your personal finance?
Well,
Fred, you want to answer that?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, state law prohibits such things, exercising your political authority in a manner, or it prohibits you from voting on matters that you have a potential conflict of interest with respect to, so that it shouldn't happen, and I don't think we hear very often that there are concerns that it's happening either. So I think we have good compliance, but this is just an additional tool to give the public confidence that issues that are before the commission are being dealt with on their merits and without other considerations.
The Public Integrity Commission will give you it doesn't cost us any money to get an advisory opinion. So if you're questioning whether or not if you're wondering, what is this, should I vote on this or is this a conflict, you can contact them. They will do their board meet. You have to do it in enough time to have the board meet or Mrs. Weaver?
Is her new name?
The new person.
Yeah, Deborah Weaver. But does she have a married name now? Or is
It was Weaver. It's a new name now, but she's the lawyer who represents the Public Integrity Commission. She will give you pretty, in very short time, a response without the board approving it, but it's very helpful. So they provide this service to people, to elected officials. So if you're in doubt or you're wondering, because I know I have a business relationship with someone who's involved in this property, is going to come before us for a vote, we can call and say, does that represent a conflict of interest in your eyes? And they'll give you a reason why you should or should, why you could or could not vote for that, or should or should not vote for it.
That'll be on the website.
Well, it would be a good link.
Yeah.
It would be a great thing.
So,
Do we vote on it?
Yeah.
In agreement, or anybody?
I'm in agreement. I mean, the problem is it can be misused as it was in your pick area.
Yes.
Because they knew the mayor had a rental property and
Well, the information's not.
Yeah, but I mean, no, I mean, it's good to have the information. I'm just saying it's not all positive.
Oh, yeah. It's not like the information's posted, but it is FOIA-able.
Well, especially when you want rental properties, I think people know that anyway.
Generally.
And for children, that includes stepchildren, I assume. Children and stepchildren.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Does it say that, or should it?
Well, it says children. Provide the following information for yourself, your spouse, parents, children, and siblings.
Yeah, that's the.
Please indicate none.
The state law states that. Those are your immediate relatives. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So stepchildren would not be?
No, they're in there.
They are.
They would be.
So that would be by assumption, or should we add it?
Oh, it's not in there?
It's not in ours.
It says children. We're all kind of adults here.
Yeah.
If we just leave the form as children, people know what that means.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay, very good.
You know?
All right, is everybody okay with voting on it? Or?
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
I motion we adopt this form in regards to section 10.4, or 10-4.
Second.
Well, is that the right motion because we already have it? Or are we just...
Well, this is the form to use for 10-4, which is already passed, right? Is that
right,
correct?
10-4
so that we're
in
going
effect.
To use it and we're going to...
We're going to
actually
now use, we're adopting this form
to comply with 10.
To comply with 10.4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. This feels like you're adopting an ordinance, and that feels funny to you because we're not observing the same formalities, but we're not adopting an ordinance. It's just giving meaning to the existing ordinance, which does require you to report within 30 days after the adoption of the chapter.
So we would have to...
So I think once you settle on this form, I think people need to get to work on supplying it.
So are we just activating something that's already, was this form the form that was in town hall, or was this form created for this meeting?
No,
we're activating
that's been a silent issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
We're just saying we're going to do it. Mm-hmm. We haven't done it before.
And we don't know why it hasn't been required.
No one appears.
I've been a commissioner this month, going in my eighth year, and
it's the nature of.
You did? Oh, excuse me. You did? Because you've been here 25 years as an employee, and you had to fill these out?
When Morrison was here, we filled out a form. I can't remember, but town hall sent them over. We all had to fill those out. You know if you had any.
How long ago?
90s. He was here in 95, right?
Long time, though.
I filled one out.
It's been a long time.
Okay.
They wanted to know if you had any financial interest or stocks or anything in any companies.
I filled one out when I ran in 2002.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
In 2002.
I'm going to just make a comment. For 2 years now, I've been asking about this type of thing. And an annual ethics briefing on what the ethics rules and policies and procedures are. And I do that every year. It takes about 2 hours. And one of those forms that I'm required to fill out is Northrop Grumman's equivalent of this. So every year when we are briefed and we sign, we understand the ethics rules, this is one of the forms that we fill out. I don't think that's unacceptable to follow that same schedule and policy here.
Yeah, the... I think 10.4 just says when the information's updated, you update it or something to that effect.
Just for the sake of the correct procedures, does our ethics code have any? Does it have any standing until it's approved by the PIC?
Oh,
so
this provision
is
does not appear to conflict with any existing.
But
nor is it linked. Inextricably to the Board of Ethics.
I'm asking, what is the status of 10.4? My idea of 10.4 is it doesn't have any status until we have the ethics code approved. I mean, we're just doing this in compliance with the state ethics code, aren't we?
No.
10.4 has...
I tried to address that point when we started.
Okay.
To the extent that we have ordinances within the chapter of Code of Conduct, that deal with ethical behavior, and in this case, financial disclosures, to the extent that they don't conflict with state law, they apply.
Okay.
We know that there are examples of provisions in our existing code that do not apply because they're not consistent with state code, and our Board of Ethics our Board of Ethics provisions are not applicable or not enforceable or do not authorize the creation of the Board of Ethics. But this provision does not run afoul of any state test, and therefore there's, if, you know, if I'm asked to give an opinion, does it, is it law for this municipality? And I think the answer is yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
All right, we have a motion on the table. Would you like to repeat it?
Yeah, so the motion is that we adopt this form as the mechanism for complying with Section 10-4 of our code.
Okay, a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Oh, yeah. Aye.
Okay.
Can we have a discussion?
Oh, I thought we already did, but okay.
Okay. Sure.
Well, I got the motion. I'm okay with the motion, except I don't see anything, any document number here that I could search for on our new website. So how are we going to index this into our into a document management system that we can search for?
I don't think the idea is that this information is going to be posted on the website after people fill it out.
Right.
I think the idea is that the...
No. If I'm being asked to fill out a form,
right,
as far as one of my duties as either elected or in town employee, I want to be able to search in our website and pull this up and then print it out, fill it out.
Well, I would, Elaine, I would imagine you're going to have like a forms type of thing somewhere on the website, right?
Yes, we are.
So it'll probably just be in there as one of the forms.
And are we going to index these by some document number? That's what I'm used to.
Well, I couldn't really tell you sitting here right now at this moment, but it's, I'll have to figure out how we're going to do it, but I'll make sure that it's done well.
Okay. And I'm sorry you want that behind the scenes anyway. I mean, this is a very small municipality relative to the massiveness of Northrop Grumman. I don't think we need to have a document for this particular document. There can be a link. That would
It's in our code already, yeah.
It's in the code.
Mm-hmm. Oh, if it's in the code, then so they should you can go on the website right now and you can search the code and you can find it.
Well, the form, though, is... The form's not in there because this tonight, this group is going to adopt the form for the first time. Or, you know, as Chief Macker has indicated, there must have been a form at one time that people used, but over the years it's out of sight.
Yeah, it'll be easier in the code.
No, the code just says, the code just references that we adopt a form.
Now, we have a lot of forms, so this would just be another form. Yeah. So this is fine. It'll be easy to find on the site.
Okay.
Before we go, I wanted to add another comment. We're talking about Public Integrity Commission. They offer a 3-hour training class for state employees that we're all welcome to attend with no fee. And as soon as I was elected, I attended a 3-hour class. It was really good. Mm-hmm. So that's something we might consider down the road.
Okay. So we have a motion and second on the table. Any other discussion? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Motion passes unanimously. Sam? Would you like to give us your police report?
Sure.
Please come up here and give your report. How'd the summer go? And, you know,
stand
of the summer. So.
We got through it.
That's good. He's still standing.
Yep. We had, over the month of August 2014, your seasonal officer issued 143 10-minute citations, 18 traffic citations, 28, 21 criminal arrests and issued 1,714 parking citations. And that also includes the parking citations. In your full-time, part-time staff, the officers issued 9 traffic citations, no ordinance arrest, made 4 criminal arrests, issued 33 parking tickets, and we kept our overtime down to 12.5 hours. We had no significant events during the month of August. As a reminder for tomorrow, the triathlon starts at, I hope people will be in around 7. It starts at 7:30. We're going to start at the town route with a swim meet. We're going to bicycle down to the inlet, and then we'll be running up, and we'll be going just past Chesapeake Street, making a U-turn, and then coming back. So it's only going to affect the ocean blocks. Is where we need to be very careful with your runners out there.
Other than that, we're okay, huh? Sounds good.
quick, just a real quick question. One constituent reached out to me asking if we could get some signs on 1A, you know, between like St. Louis and Chesapeake, saying yield to pedestrians and crosswalks. Is that something you can help with, or do I need to go? We need to go to Del Dot for that.
Del Dot, and I'm sure Mark Allen may have some in stock, or for the you're talking regulatory signs,
yield to pedestrians and crosswalks. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Another time. We're working with, we've filed a grant for $20,000 for additional cameras, and we're waiting to see how that goes through.
Mm-hmm. All right. Good enough. Thanks very much.
Speaking of cameras, did anyone see the paper where the police are wearing those glasses with the little camera here?
Yeah. We've been doing it for a while.
Yeah.
Oh, you've been doing it?
Yeah. Google glasses.
Yep.
Not
all
quite.
Right, you're way ahead.
Jim, are you doing the finance or town manager report? No. Okay. And
but things are good. Things are good.
That's the report.
Things are good. Okay. Things are good. And Fred, did you have anything to report?
I do not. Thank you.
Okay. For public comments, any comments from the public? Yes, Jim?
Just a question for clarification. Did you say, Mayor, that the organization meeting is Saturday, September 27th?
Yes, that would be correct.
Is that at 9 a.m.
I think it's normally
10. It'll be on the check the website.
Yeah. What do you think? 10 o'clock?
I'm flexible. Whenever you guys want to do it.
I think that's what. All right. So 10 o'clock on the 27th. Okay.
Got to check
Jim,
the all.
Jim, would you get that posted or make sure that it's posted to the 9:27 meeting at 10 a.m.
I distracted.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Jim,
would you please?
I'm sorry. We just discussed the organizational meeting. That the date would be the 27th, and they wanted to know what time. So
10 o'clock.
Gotcha. So if we get that, we should have that's posted that's properly. Posted.
Ashley says that's posted.
Fine. It is posted already, Ashley? Good. At 10?
At 10.
Okay, good.
And we guess that you would be at 10. We were putting that on the calendar.
Okay. Good. Tradition. All right. Any commissioners' comments? David?
No comments.
No comments. Anna?
Gary? Well, I reserved a lot of my time allocations for tonight to take the time to thank people that I've worked with this last 2 years. It's amazing how the last 2 years have gone by pretty fast. I want to say I've enjoyed working with the other commissioners. And thank you for your support most of the time on my ideas. I want to thank Fred for keeping us out of jail. Georgia and Chris for keeping us the watchdog and making sure we're staying on track. Ashley and the rest of the staff, I've enjoyed working with Ashley, Joyce, and those and the support that they gave us in terms of preparing our minutes and our handbooks to get out. Bill, I'm still trying to get you to call me Garrett, and I'm in the commission, but I enjoyed seeing you all these 2 years. I was going to thank Dale for his moral support and the words of wisdom that he usually presents us at our meetings, and Beverly for the professionalism and all the things that he's done, and Sam for all the great work, the camera system, hopefully finding all the signs that were stolen this week, and I want to thank Jim and Mark. I think they've done great job of turning our town hall around and moving the town in a positive direction and in a professional manner. So with that, I guess this is my last meeting, so thank you, everybody.
Oh, see, this is the last one. Courtney?
No, I have nothing to say.
Top that.
All right, I just have two quick things. One is that there was a tremendous save by our lifeguards that I think I wanted to share with you. But apparently a mother, father, and child were out in the ocean. It was one of those days when we had very rough seas. and they got out too far and they could not get back in. And I think it may be, I don't know whether Todd would know this, but I think it may be the first time that we had three saves simultaneously. That we had three lifeguards in the water saving this family. And they got them all in. The woman, when she got in, collapsed on the beach and started vomiting seawater. And that everyone that observed this said that if the lifeguards were not there, they probably would have died. But they were they got three lifeguards out there to save all three of them and did a really good job.
What date was that? What date was that? Was it after the first?
It was in August.
In August.
Yeah, mid-August sometime.
Had a lot of rough seas in August.
Very rough seas, and they did an excellent job. I think they just got out there and they couldn't get back in, and they would have died otherwise. The other thing, just to leave the comment that we're going to have Pet Month in June, and I just think that as a town, we need to wag more and bark less. So, with that, may I adjourn the meeting? Everybody okay?
Motion to adjourn? Yeah, sure.
Motion.
Second. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Meeting adjourned. One of the shortest meetings in the history of Dewey Beach.